Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is brought to you by Fretish.com. Fretish is a brand new service that enables you to rent your musical equipment to other local musicians and make money from your instruments while you're not on the road. If you have a collection of guitars, amps, pedals, or other musical kit, why not list it on Fretish and start connecting with musicians just like you? Listings are free and you set the price and conditions of your rental, as well as having full control to reject any rental requests. Check out Fretish.com and start making money from your guitar collection today. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Guitar Nerds, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this morning by Jay Cross.
Hello.
Pretty bare bones crew today.
The best.
You've got the best two, obviously.
Well, in fairness, I would say that we are probably the mean average of Guitar Nerds.
Yeah.
Because egos aside...
I am mean.
Egos aside, Matt Knight is obviously the best.
He's the nerdiest.
And Joe Branton is clearly the worst.
Yeah, we're sort of two in the middle.
Yeah, we're just kind of knocking about, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Building castles in the sky.
We've done this before, I'm sure, when it's just been two of us.
You and I.
Very good. But you can go that low.
I can't, really.
Yeah, no, obviously. Bit of a weird episode. Joe is out doing something or other.
I think he was playing in Leeds yesterday or the day before.
Can't get back.
I think he's on some sort of tour.
And Matt's doing something else.
I don't know where Matt is. He's very elusive.
Yeah, he hasn't been on for ages.
He just goes, I can't make it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, can't make it, lads.
Oh, okay, when we can rearrange. I can't make it.
Maybe he's working on secret projects in the lab.
I reckon so. Pedal nerds.
Oh, don't. Don't give him ideas.
Well, completely.
Don't give the audience ideas, because they'll be actually requesting that. Some of them won't. No. At least one of them will not be requesting that. Thanks for joining us. It's going to be probably a bit of a weird episode because there's only a couple of us here. But as there is there's news and stuff to talk about, you were out at a gig last night. Did you see any interesting gear? Or was it the usual punk fair?
Yeah,
JCM, DSL 50s.
No, it was orange, probably rented backline.
Sure.
Some Fender combos, Les Pauls, and... like Jazz Masters. I don't think there were any Telecasters. No, there were. There was one Telecaster. I think it was just the one Tele. There was a lot of Les Pauls.
Really?
Yeah.
Because we've said recently, like, you go to gigs these days, you don't see Les Pauls.
No, yeah, there was a lot of Les Pauls. Slaughter Beach Dog was one of my mate's band who stayed here last night.
Weird band name, isn't it?
It is a weird band name, yes. But Nick Harris, the guitar player, who is an occasional Guitar Nerds listener, he was dogging me to be on the podcast at some point. And I was like, nah, I'm not sure, mate.
Really?
I'm not sure you're that interesting.
He hasn't got the chops.
Well, we'll see. But he's a big Les Paul fan, and he had two Les Pauls with him.
Right.
And one of the singer was using one of them, so.
Standards?
Yeah, I think so. Older ones, I think.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it was in a weird venue. It was in the first it was the first show they've done in this venue in Brighton called Bow Wow. And it was a bit weird. The sound wasn't great, but, you know, teething problems. It is what it is.
Next to a strip club. So, next, you know, you're in a great part of town.
Well, completely. You know, it is what it is. But, I've got a little bit of a... little bit of a head this morning, but it'll be fine.
Okay, we'll get through it.
Yeah, totally.
Too early to be podcasting anyway, but hopefully we'll be able to provide you with a decent amount of stuff.
Well, absolutely.
I've spent a lot of time this week thinking about getting a new guitar and looking at tellies and stuff.
Yeah, I saw we've got this in the Guitar Nerds WhatsApp group. You were saying like, oh, maybe I should buy this Reverend that looks a bit like a telly. It's like, well.
Yeah, but it is a telly. It's got a telly headstock and everything.
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't actually. It's got Reverend headstock, but it's not.
In fairness,
too weird.
What one was it that you were looking at? It wasn't the Buckshot, was it?
No, it was a.
Was it a signature model?
Yes, Pete Anderson.
Okay.
Who I don't know who he is.
Okay.
They had a very, very limited run of guitars made for a shop in the States called. They were just called the Pete Anderson Signature. Silver Metal Flake, P90 in the neck, telly pickup in the bridge. It just looked excellent. And I know because it's a Reverend, it's going to play really nicely, and I like the feel of their guitars. And two of them found their way over here to Merchant City Music, who are pretty much the biggest Reverend dealer, I think, in the UK. And they had both gone. I was on Reverb, and that one of them popped up, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, I'll do some investigation. Found out, in fact, through one of the Guitar Nerds listeners in the group, that there were only two available in the UK. They were never meant to come to the UK. One was Rosewood, which I didn't want, so there was only one Maple,
right?
And then about 10 minutes later, someone put up a message saying, yeah, it's gone.
Didn't you post it in the group, though?
Well, yeah, it was my... I don't necessarily think someone from the group bought it.
Possibly.
Possibly.
The thing is with that is, because it had a P90 in the neck, didn't it? That's the thing for me. And I know that I'm maybe a bit of an outlier here. Guitars have got two different types. And I know this is something that you like, but I don't like guitars that have got two different types of pickups.
P90's not that different from a single coil, though.
Yeah, I mean,
it is literally a single coil.
Well, yeah, for sure. But it's just... the balance never seems right to me. That's kind of the way
just
that I
like adjust the pickups a bit and it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
P90, I don't think would be too weird because, you know, telly neck pickup, it's all right.
Yeah,
it's not why you buy
a
telly.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that said, that the neck pickup in my offset telly is wicked.
Yeah, the bridge pickup in your offset telly is not very good.
Correct, yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, I wonder if I still like the neck pickup as much if I change the bridge pickup.
Yeah, that could be a problem. Mm. Get onto Monty's or something, see if he can make you a nice telly set to put in there. So, yeah, thinking about that, and then I was just thinking maybe I should just buy a bar telly. Maybe I'll just get it over with.
I mean, they are the best guitar of all time.
Well,
for under a grand.
Yeah, they used to be a lot under a grand.
Well,
they're
listen,
not quite
they're still
much
under a grand.
Yeah.
As we've talked about a lot recently, it's...
Brexit, innit?
Well, that wasn't what I was going to say, but, you know, what I was going to say is we have been saying that this guitar is the best guitar for under a grand for the last... you know, 5 years or whatever, is still under a grand.
Yeah, sure.
And it's still the best guitar for under a grand.
Mm, I think there's other things that could claim that now, but...
I'm not sure about that.
But I'm still thinking about getting a Baja telly. Do you know what? I'm going to do it this afternoon, actually. I've got tons.
You're going to buy one this afternoon?
No, because I asked you for a, you know, if you could get me a price on one. You said no. And so I've got to now find a guitar shop that will do me a nice price on one.
Well, there we go.
So I'm going to sell pretty much everything that I've got.
Really?
Not guitar-wise. I'll keep all the guitars. But, like, I've got loads of pedals that need to go and that TubeMeister 5 combo needs to go. Because I want to... It's even that at 5 watts is too big for my house.
Yeah.
So I'm probably just going to end up getting, like, a Katana Mini or something.
Okay.
Just, like, the little one that I can have on a desktop next to me and play guitar into that. I know, you know, obviously, being on this podcast, I should have some elaborate setup where I've got 3 amps and, you know, 200 pedals. Practically, for my house, the problem I find at the moment is that I don't play as much guitar as I could because I've got nowhere to... I can plug in, but if I plug into that TubeMeister, it just sounds rubbish because you can't turn it up at all. And then it just is really discouraging from playing. So I want to get something that sounds pretty good at mega low volumes. And I've been listening to a lot of demos recently. I've actually been watching a lot of demo videos on home practice amps and stuff. And the Katana Mini seems by far and away the best option until you get to something like the Katana 50, which again is probably a bit too big for what I need.
Right.
you know, you've got all those kind of joke amps, like, you know, the, I say joke, I don't mean joke, I mean novelty. The little Orange Crush 3,
yeah,
the little Fender Bandmaster,
yeah,
or whatever it is.
Marshall MS2.
Yeah. They're fine, you know, for they are what they are. They're a nice, they're a stocking filler, basically.
They're toys, really, yeah, more than anything else. And that's, I tell you what, actually, I'm quite surprised that when that Black Star, whatever the Black Star one's called, Fly 3,
yeah,
when that came out, it was just, it was such a game changer.
Yeah.
I really couldn't believe how good that amp was for the size of it. We'd always sort of poo-pooed amps.
Pardon?
Like that. You know, you heard me, poo-pooed.
Yep.
We'd always sort of dismiss that stuff because it's like, well, it's...
Well, they, you know, they're generally you, not very...
They're not very good. Yeah. And this came out and it's £50, so it's a little bit more than... A little bit more than the... than the Marshalls and the Fenders and the Oranges, but it was just an order of magnitude better. Like it was a viable amp,
yeah,
and there doesn't really seem to have been much reaction in the market from other amp companies to do something. I think the Katana Mini is the thing that comes closest, but it's twice the price.
Yeah, sure. I've listened to some ABs and stuff, and it is quite a bit better.
Sure, completely.
But, yeah, like you say, it's double the money. In the same way that the Black Star is double the money of the Marshall.
Yeah, it's, completely.
But
completely.
When we're talking still, you know, how much is the Katana Mini? 99 quid or something?
100 quid, yeah, something like that.
It's still not a huge amount of money.
No,
it's
no,
money that
of,
I can spend.
Of course not, of course not. But I just sort of mean in terms of... The Fly 3 was just so much better than anything else that it seems strange that nobody sort of reacted to it.
Well, I think it's a difficult thing to do, really, is, you know, how does someone like Marshall, Fender or Orange make an amp that's, like, that much better in that mini amp,
yeah,
format? You know, it's,
yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah.
Blackstar have done it through some clever technology and stuff, but it's, you know, how much time and effort do you sink into that?
Well, yeah, I
when
guess so.
Your potential return on it is probably not that great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Blackstar have sold a fair few of those Fly 3s, yeah, but how many of those do you have to sell to make up for selling the sort of stuff that Orange or Marshall
sell?
Completely, you know?
completely. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Mustang that came out at some point, that sort of size.
Yep. There's some Vox stuff, and there's obviously the Yamaha.
There is a Vox one, isn't there? There's
Yamaha THR5s as well.
I never got on with those.
Yeah.
I even when we were in the shop and people come in and ask about them, I never understood why people like those amps. I didn't think they sounded very good. A lot of people really... I like the THR100. I thought that was a really cool amp.
Yep.
But the 5s and the 10s, I just never got on with them. I didn't understand it. I thought that the... And I don't mean to sound like Joe Branton here. Like, I get the convenience. I thought that was cool. It had the USB out. It was, you know, small and compact, nice and easy. Like, it looked quite cool. You could have it on your desktop. But, just in terms of practicality, I didn't think it was great, personally.
Having done quite a lot of research this week, I would say it's probably the second best sounding...
Behind the Katana?
Behind the Katana Mini.
Right.
There's this Vox one, which I think it's called the IO-10 or something like that.
Okay.
And obviously there's all the little Marshall and Fender bits and pieces. And even... it's tough, really. Yeah, I mean, I would say that, yeah, probably the Boss is the best sounding for me, then the Yamaha, and then under that it starts to fall away a bit. Like the Vox, I don't think comes anywhere close. And this is all just, you know, I've only been watching YouTube videos. It's not like I've been out in the flesh and listened to this stuff, but I've been watching quite a lot of comparison videos to try and make up my mind, and the Boss does seem to be the best. But like you say, it's twice the price of something like a Fly 3, so...
And at the same time, how much time should we really be spending talking about something that you're using for utilitarian purposes, as opposed
completely.
To, you know, there's no, you're not getting this because it's, oh, this is going to change the way that I play guitar, but you're getting it because this is what I need in order to actually be able to play guitar.
Definitely, yeah. In the flat at the moment, just, yeah, there's no way that I can, I mean, I totally could run a 5-watt valve amp, but I'm not getting the best out of it.
No.
And it
no,
seems
no, no.
pointless having that when I could downgrade to something that I can actually use.
Why don't you just get like a Helix LT or something?
Yeah, headphones though.
Yeah,
headphones. I tell you what, headphones with two cats in the house is a nightmare,
because
just after the cable constantly. Yeah. So yeah, I've tried that because I've got one. Gitana's listener sent us in a pod.
Oh no, yeah, of course.
They sent
yeah.
us it in. No, I bought a pod from a Guitar Nerds listener.
Okay.
And I've been trying to use that, and having that in the living room, it's just a nightmare, because if you want to leave it set up, you obviously need to plug the power supply in, you plug guitar cable in, just to be like ready to go. And I guess that would be the same with
a guitar amp.
A guitar amp, but you also have to have headphones plugged in. And having those three cables, you know, it's just a bit messy. The cats are just on it constantly. Yeah, it's not the most relaxing experience to try and play with headphones.
What about when you try and restring with cats?
Oh, yeah, that's the worst experience ever.
It's almost worth just not bothering. Yeah, it's so exhausting.
Locking the door is the key there because, they're an utter nightmare. They've been winding me up. That's why I'm a bit aggy at the moment, just
really?
No sleep.
Oh, no.
Because of cats. So anyway, what I'm going to do to soothe my aggressive nature is buy myself a new amp so I can play guitar, and in the next few weeks I probably want to buy a new guitar. I want to get a telly. Maybe I'll get a Baja telly.
I mean, they are the best guitars.
What colours are they in at the moment? Just the two?
No, there's... So it depends on whether you want the 50s one or the 60s one.
I definitely don't want the 60s one.
The 50s one, then, you can get, I think, in blonde, black, or two-tone sunburst.
Hmm. Maybe. You got to get blonde, really, haven't you?
I think so. I think so.
They've got a black guard?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks like a 52 telly, you know.
Maybe that's what I need.
They're just so good.
Maybe that's what I need.
I saw there was a conversation that came up in the Guitar Nerds forum where someone was saying, "Oh yeah, I'm saving up for a Baja Telly," and they hadn't played one. I guess they were just going off of what we say about them. And someone came into the playing devil's advocate saying, well, that neck's quite big. And, you know, we do talk about this a lot.
I remember reading the thread now. It wasn't that it was a big neck. It was the soft V, which the person was saying, it takes a bit of getting used to.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah,
but
it is,
necks can be a bit hit or miss for some people.
Oh, totally.
So, as with all of these things, you've just got to go to a shop and try them before you buy them.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I can play things, like my Les Paul Junior, for example, has got a real, what I would say, slim neck, like 60 slim.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I also like, you know, like big 50s baseball bat or Sofi style necks. The only thing I don't really get on with is like Ibanez style.
The sort of wizard.
Yeah.
Super thin, super flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just strange that you can, you know, some people can go from, I mean, even Ibanez neck, you know, if someone handed it to me, I'd be like, yeah, this feels great.
Yeah.
Fine. You know, it wouldn't be my preference.
No.
But, you know, some people are just really, really put off by things either way.
Completely, yeah. I mean, I can swing either way
when it comes to
that.
The only thing that I can't play, wide flat P-bass necks, 60 style P-bass necks.
Right, okay.
No way.
I wonder where the innovation for that came. Actually, it probably wasn't innovation. It was probably that he just
that's what they just tried it for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Just do something a bit different. I
don't
know.
If you try those, the ones they commonly reissue, like 61, 2, and 3, I guess, are the most reissued P basses. If they're talking about 60 stuff, the necks are so wide, and it makes me wonder how they went from pretty slim but deep to wide and flat.
Yeah.
I wonder whether it was the market driving that or whether, like you say, Leo just went, should we just try something different?
Yeah.
Maybe it was a marketing thing.
Maybe it was a mistake.
Maybe it was
a
mistake.
You know, it's...
Oh, no, we've drilled them wrong. We've cut them wrong. I don't know, drilled. You don't drill
a neck.
You
drill a neck out of
a
piece
of
wood.
No, that's how they used to do it. Just that's the secret of the Fender Custom Shop. Instead of cutting it, they just drill it.
You get those full rose redwood tree from up in Northern California.
You just drill necks out of it.
Yeah, you're just boring necks out of them.
That's how we do it. Should we dive into some...
Oh, no. Okay.
You got to do it.
Can you give it? You should do it.
Hang on.
See, it's
tough. News.
I'm glad you did that because I almost said questions.
Oh, right. I thought you meant questions. Do you know what? I thought you were going to say quirky bullshit. To really fully imitate Branton.
No, that wasn't what I was going to do. I just I forgot that it was news and not questions.
Well, it is indeed.
Quite, I tell you what, I give him slack, but he knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't.
Right,
that's the thing.
No,
he basically
right.
drifts off for most of the podcast, and then you have to poke him with a stick under the table to make him say the things that he's
yes.
supposed to say.
Just as a heads up, I'm not reading all these names out in one breath.
Yes, you are.
Absolutely no
okay.
way.
Oh, I'll try it.
Okay, good.
I'll try it. But we don't have to do that yet. We'll think about that later.
Okay.
So first up in the news this week, Laney Amplification announced the bit of a weird one. This they've announced the mini line of amps, which they already announced at NAMM. But what they're saying is, we announced at NAMM, they're actually now available, and they're giving more spec.
They're
about
launching them, which is kind of what this is what Fender have been doing with the last few product releases. You know, showing them at NAMM and then launching them properly when, I guess, when stock becomes available. So I saw these. So there's two lines available here. There's the Mini and then the Mini ST. The ST standing for stereo. I don't know what I assume it's ST is stereo, not stereo.
I was
going to
say, why are you like freaking on this?
Well, no, I just
ST clearly just is stereo.
Yeah, it is just stereo. So there's the Mini and then there's the Mini stereo. And I saw these at NAMM when I went to the Laney booth. I don't think I saw the stereo ones. This is the first time hearing of those. But the Minis, they had a really nice little display area for them. But it is a little bit disconcerting because there's three styles. So there's a Lionheart, so the blue sort of Tolex style with the wheat fret cloth. There's the Ironheart style, which is the, you know, everything black and then everything else.
Yeah.
And then there's the other style, which they are calling G something, super mini super G.
Yeah, which is the super group.
Which is what the what do they call it? Black Country Custom.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the Tony Iommi style, isn't it? So there's also a mini one that looks like basically like the Tony Iommi amp. However, as far as I could tell, there isn't any difference in the sound of any of those three amps. I think it's just the aesthetics.
I think that is correct because there's some app connection where you can like dial in loads of different sounds.
Yeah, so they've hooked up with Ultimate Guitar, and there's some sort of modeling system that's available. The press release isn't very, it's not very clear.
Yeah.
But it's some sort of extra, you know, you have to pay for this extra service. And you get, I guess, Ultimate Guitar, is that tabs?
Yes, it is, that's right.
So yeah. I guess you'll get tabs and you'll get loads of different amp models.
Well, it sounds like, so basically it comes with you've got access to ToneBridge, which allows you to, which is an app from Ultimate Guitar where they're doing tones, but then you also get 3 months free trial of Ultimate Guitar Pro,
which
gives
you
the tones, tabs, and thousands of tunes.
Right.
So I guess that's like backing tracks and stuff like that, or maybe it's like versions of the songs that you can play over the top. I don't know. We'd need to do a bit of investigation into that, but they call it the Laney smartphone insert. I assume it means you're not connecting your. The LSI connecting cable is supplied with the unit and works with iOS and Android devices. So by the sound of things, you have to hook your phone.
So it's not
Bluetooth.
It's not Bluetooth.
You have to hook your phone to the amp, and then that does your tone. That creates your tones.
Huh. Okay. Well, I guess let's see.
Yeah, let's see how that pans out. But get curious to see one of these.
My concern here is it's, I feel like this isn't very 2018.
Yeah.
This kind of feels a couple of years too late.
Yeah.
But I like the idea. I absolutely. It just seems a little bit strange that it's not, you don't plug it, you don't program it via Bluetooth like you do with the TC Tone Print, for example, or like you do with the Mustang GT. You know, you pull the amp software out.
There is no mention of Bluetooth anywhere in the specs. Yeah. I also guess you can't play music through it or anything like that.
Well, there's an auxiliary in.
Right, okay. But yeah, not via Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Which seems very strange to me when pretty much everyone else in the market is doing that.
Yes. Although, just a little bit of behind the scenes work, having been involved with a company that sells Bluetooth products in various countries throughout Europe, I can tell you the untold headaches that you get from trying to get lithium ion and Bluetooth products into different markets.
Because
all the countries in Europe have got different guidelines, and you know, we're putting stuff into we're putting stuff into South Africa and stuff to India, and so it's not just the EU, it's not just Europe that we're dealing with. So maybe Laney,
Laney have gone, do you know what works? Jack cables.
Jack cables and batteries.
Yeah.
AA batteries, not supplied. So maybe they're just, you know, taking the path of least resistance.
That's true, and yeah. Then, it's not even rechargeable within the amp itself.
It's double A's. Yeah.
This is an old school product, isn't it? What I like about it, they've done so many things right in the... They're playing on their history. They've taken three classic amps from the Laney range and they've gone, you know, whether you want, you know, you want a home practice amp, but maybe you're a metaler. This one, it does all the sounds, but yep. It looks like a metal amp. If you're a classic guy, you know, there's like the Lionheart or the Supergroup models that look kind of classic, but it still does all the sounds. So if you want to do metal, you can do it, but it looks, yep. Might be nice for your living room or, yep. Or whatever.
Exactly. This is kind of addressing the issue that I think a lot of people had with Amplify when that, yeah. First came out,
yeah.
Is that it looked really weird. It didn't look like anything that people sort of knew as a guitar amp or knew as a home stereo system, and I think that put a lot of people off.
Definitely.
So if you're going down this route, having the different aesthetics available, I think is a smart plan.
What they've forgotten to do is put in any of the features from something like Amplify.
Well, completely.
So yeah, so, it's a bit of a weird old school product.
Very weird, but let's see what happens. You know, maybe this is going to be the sort of thing that rivals, going back to what we were talking about with the Blackstyle Fly 3, maybe this is going to be the sort of thing that rivals that. I don't know.
Sure, but there is a Bluetooth version of that available as well.
Yeah.
So, Let's move on. Seymour Duncan have announced the Silver Lake Reverb. We had a quick listen to this earlier. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's a fairly modern sounding reverb. It gives you everything that you would expect from spring to shimmer.
They describe it as a reverb workstation. So, yeah, it's basically starting off with basic sounds. So you've got, you know, spring or room or hall, but then you can pretty much tweak any parameter in there and you can come up with some really wacky sounds. We had to listen to some demos earlier and it was very ambient sounding.
Yeah, completely. I mean, they obviously know what they're doing. I tell you what, Seymour Duncan have really, I feel, reinvented themselves with their pedal offering over, yeah. The last few years. Because for a long time it was only the pickup booster. It was the only thing that anybody wanted.
Yeah, they did some other stuff, but
it wasn't very good. Yeah. No, it was only ever the pickup booster. And I think that they've really managed to spread themselves a bit with regards to the pedals that they've got. You know, the Palladium, which I guess is also, you would consider that probably a workstation.
Yeah, I think they called that a preamp workstation.
Like
an overdrive workstation, something like that.
That's, yeah, I remember it being something like that. And then, but you know, there was that, there's the single pedals, the 805, you know, the sort of tube screamery
type
thing.
That's really nice.
The Vapor Trail.
That's really nice as well.
You know, there's some, you start sort of sitting down and thinking about it, there's some great Seymour Duncan pedals out there. Do they do a delay version of a kind of workstation?
I don't think they do yet. I think the only delay is the Vapor Trail. Just sort of analog voice.
Oh, the Andromeda Dynamic Digital Delay.
Oh, maybe they do. Yeah, maybe you're right. The Andromeda. We talked about that quite a while ago. I think it came out sort of halfway through last year, something like that.
Yeah, maybe. This looks a lot. This has got the same sort of, what's the word? Kind of...
Workstation size.
Yeah, it's got, you know, you've got eight or nine knobs on there, 2 foot switches. I guess what they're doing is they're putting together. I don't know whether this is them kind of trying to go after the Strymon market. But
I would 100% say that it is
in a more traditional method. You know, there's no banks in there. There's no programming by the looks of things.
No, I think there is.
Oh, really?
Actually. Well, there certainly is on the Silver Lake because you've got full MIDI compatibility, 128 presets. So I would assume that the Andromeda is the same. There certainly is.
Oh yeah, the Andromeda has got MIDI in, MIDI out.
Yeah, so there certainly isn't on the Palladium. That was pretty much just a nice preamp, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're looking at the Silver Lake, yeah, there is definitely presets. 128 presets, all available through MIDI. You can also just have a look at some of the features they've got. This thing, a thing called Dynamic Expression. So basically, sets up how important your picking dynamics are to how it sounds. So if you've got dynamic expression, from how I understand it, if you've got dynamic expression down, how hard you play doesn't affect the reverb.
That's like a compressor, basically.
Kind of, yeah. I guess it is kind of doing that. It's controlling how much dynamics are factoring into the final sound.
Yeah.
And then I would guess if you wind it all the way up, it means that it's very, very expressive based on your picking.
Right, okay.
Which could be a cool thing, definitely, you know, to get some kind of weird and wonderful sounds. Also, USB compatible, so you can connect it to a librarian software, so you can either save your own patches or you can download other people's patches. Yeah, it seems like a quality thing. I don't know on pricing yet.
No, I can't see it anywhere. I'm going to assume that it's going to be
250 quid ish,
yeah,
something like that.
That's
have a quick look, see if anyone's got it on there. But yeah, it looks nice. Like you say, Seymour Duncan are doing something very different. Obviously, I think they've realised that there's more competition for pickups now. Whereas Seymour Duncan were the only go-to company for a while. You know, if someone said, "Oh, I need some new pickups," you go, "Yeah, get some Seymour Duncans." Now, obviously, you've got Bare Knuckle. We've got talked about boutique places like Monty's Pickups. So maybe they're just expanding their offering. You're wincing at the price, Jay.
£429.
Okay, so it is fully Strymon DD5 or whatever it is, RV500.
RV500
territory.
Yeah,
interesting.
It's a lot of money. A lot more than I was expecting it to be.
But, you know, maybe we need to do some sort of shootout. Maybe we need to get an RV500 and I was going to say Timeline.
Big Sky.
That's the delay. Big Sky.
Yes.
And do a little shootout. Because the Seymour Duncan did sound very impressive in those demos.
I tell you what, they're doing some great stuff. They really are. Some of these pedals are just... The Vapor Trail, I think, is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Andromeda, I must have switched off when we talked about that.
We definitely did talk about it.
I don't really remember it. But I think it's a cool little... You know, without wanting to... I think that we kind of live in our own little bubble here sometimes. People who are into guitars and into guitar pedals, you know. All you've got to do is look at pedal boards of doom and look. Everybody has got a Big Sky and everybody has got a Timeline and everybody's got a Mobius.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I think it would be cool to start seeing these sort of things superseding those pedals.
Yeah.
Just to keep, you know, from a selfish point of view, to keep things looking interesting.
Well, I mean, and things, you know, the boss stuff definitely has encroached on some of that territory.
Absolutely. DD500s are making their way onto, but you see people sort of shifting away from Timelines onto the DDs, and I really think that it's good that the whatever the modulation one's called, the
MD500.
I'm really glad that has kind of, because the Mobius was sort of set out there by itself as the only option for I guess also in the Eventide, the H9, but you know, it's just nice to see a little bit of variance on what people have got.
Yeah. It can go both ways. I quite like seeing a board where it's just like all Strymon or all of the Boss modelers together. I think that's It's cool. But yeah, nice mix. And, you know, it's happened before. You know, Eventide were the ones who were kind of winning that war. Then Strymon came in. Boss have come in and eaten some of that. So maybe Seymour Duncan will be able to do the same thing. Interesting. Last bit of news this week. Ovation Guitars announced the Richie Sambora Elite Double Neck. Jay, when I put this in the email, you sort of went, ah, really? Interesting. Because, you know, it's Richie Sambora, someone who... Is he even still in Bon Jovi? He was out of Bon Jovi for a bit. I don't really know if he's still involved.
I thought he's just Richie Sambora now, isn't he?
Well, I mean, that's always been
his
name.
Oh, well, here we go. I've just Googled Richie Sambora, and the first couple of results are Richie Sambora reports on, quote, wonderful, end quote, Bon Jovi reunion rehearsals.
Right, well, there we go. So he's back in the band.
He's getting the band back together. I mean, this really is just a little bit like Spinal Tap or something.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And to make it as Spinal Tap as possible, Richie Sambora has teamed up with Ovation to release a double neck 18 string acoustic guitar.
Yeah I
don't know what to tell you, man.
I mean, so this is, you know, it's that classic sound heard at the start of Wanted Dead or Alive. Is it just called Dead or Alive, or is it Wanted Dead or Alive?
I don't know.
He's a cowboy on a steel horse he rides. And, yeah, basically, Ovation, that was, I believe, recorded on Ovation. And Richie Sambora has now come back into the fold as an Ovation artist with this brand new double neck. It's from their Elite series, so, you know, it's like the top end of what they make. And to be fair, we listened to the little preview video of it, and it did sound pretty good.
Oh, yeah, completely, completely.
I mean, it's that sound. It's basically, it sounds exactly like the beginning of that record. So if you like the sound of that, that is what this 12-string will do. And obviously there's a 6-string on there as well. It's a very, very niche product. It's not...
Loser.
Well, yeah, who uses 6 strings? Oh. It's a very niche product.
It is a very niche product. The story is quite nice, though, because in this article, he does say how he went to Ovation. Well, it seems like a bit of a backhanded compliment, I will say, because he says, they worked with me to help create my original acoustic double neck when nobody else could even figure out how to make one. Which says to me that Ovation were not his first choice.
I went to everyone else. They either went, Richie, we can't do it, or Richie, we're not going to do that. So I went back to Ovation. They said, thank God you're back. They flung the doors open and said, Mr. Sambora, step on in.
So, and what's nice is, one of the guitar nerds, I won't mention any names, Mark Packham, but did say, cool, this kind of just stinks like a bit of a cash-in.
No.
However...
No, that is not what I said. I'm glad we read through the entire article, because otherwise I might have said,
yeah, okay,
this reeks of cashing in.
But actually, this article says that all of Richie Sambora's royalties from this guitar is being donated to a couple of non-profit organisations. One called Notes for Notes and the other called Boys and Girls Clubs. So I don't know what either of those are, but it's very nice that these things are going to charity. So just having a quick look. Notes for Notes, I assume, means notes as in, you know, readies.
Cash dollar.
As in cashish.
The Benjamins.
For notes, as in, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then the sharps and the flats.
Okay. What about H? Have you ever played an H?
Oh, no, I don't know how you do an H chord.
Oh, okay, yeah, fine.
How do you do it?
Just, like, hold down all the notes.
Right, okay. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Notes for Notes appears to be an organisation that supplies designs, equips, and staffs after-school recording studios. That's cool.
I think Boys and Girls Clubs is also the same, a similar thing, basically.
Yes.
It's like after-school clubs.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really nice. It's you know, shame on us for being a bit cynical about the whole thing.
He's not short of cash, is he?
No,
I'm sure
of course he's not.
Made his money. I'm sure he's doing all right. Mind you, I think he's been divorced a few times, so maybe that's much like Russell Crowe last week.
Speaking of Russell Crowe,
Do we have to talk about Russell Crowe again? We did half an hour on it last week.
I was listening to... I think it was just on the radio when I was driving back from work one day this week. And the auction has been and gone. I didn't see what the guitars went for, but apparently his suit of armour from the movie Gladiator sold for £70,000.
That doesn't seem like that much, to be honest.
I mean, that's quite a lot of money for some metal that a geezer got sweaty in.
I know, but it's like, it's an iconic film, you know, it's an Oscar-winning film.
Yeah. What are you going to do with it?
He's the main character.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, yeah, but I don't know, some museum somewhere or some, you know, some speculator on it. 70 grand doesn't seem like that much money.
Listen, you've changed since you bought your house, mate. That's,
well, I mean, you know.
Listen, I'll just extend the mortgage. I've got this great idea for the living room.
The thing
room.
Is, she'd probably be up for it. Yeah, she'd probably. Be like, oh, yeah, it's old stuff. It's old stuff that's a waste of money. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Richie Sambora looks like he's doing a good turn for the kids by joining with Ovation, and also a good turn for those people who want that guitar, because
yeah, and I'm sure both of them are going to be really happy that it's now available.
One neck each. There's only one guitar available. They get custom. One week, one of them has the six string. The next week, that one has the 12 string, and they swap.
18 string acoustic guitar.
Beautiful.
Just get an acoustic guitar and use some Chorus. Like,
I mean, that is also an option. Just get that Yamaha, the trans acoustic that's got Chorus built in.
Just get a Lysix Variax. You know, it's probably got 12 string acoustic sound in there.
Yeah, probably.
Richie Sambora, mate, come on, come and speak to your boys' guitarists. We'll help you out.
Yeah, 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 mate. Just get a Variax sorted. Job done.
And a bar telly.
With that, let's dive into a whole big barrel of.
Questions. I can't do it. I speak about an octave higher than he does anyway.
That is true. Helium boy.
Maybe I should go higher. I don't want to go higher because I might.
Yes. Let's not do that. Let's never do that ever again. Thing is, we can't record on Monday next week, so he might not be here next week either.
Oh, good lord.
So I hope you're enjoying this, people listening. First up, Robin says, at a gig the other day, the other guitarist amp balked. We ended up using a DI box out of the pedal board. Obviously, it sounded crap. What's a good emergency solution for such eventuality? What do you think?
So I've always thought a good emergency solution for something such as this is to have a Electro-Harmonix 44 Magnum or 22 caliber.
Yep.
Because they are small, they are cheap. They sound okay. They don't sound fantastic, but they sound okay. It will sound a lot better than just DI and straight out. You're going to get a usable sound there. Another option is get one of those Boss pedals that's got COSM technology.
That would do it.
Because you could also DI out of that. Again, it's not going to sound perfect, but it's better than just DI and straight out. I would say. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Line 6 Pocket Pod, believe it or not. I don't know if they're still current. You might want to just check on that. But for a long time, when we were doing a band where Jay and I were doing a band, which I won't go into the details of, but I didn't really care too much about my bass sound. My rig was a Line 6 Pocket Pod into the PA because I couldn't be bothered to take an amp.
Pocket Pod's still available.
They're not a huge amount of money, are they?
75 quid.
And they sound pretty good.
They are good little, which is weird because, I mean, when was the Pocket Pod released?
Oh, a long time
ago. 10 years ago?
More than that.
No, in fact, I found a Music Radar review of one from 2007.
Yeah.
I tell you, what do you think it got?
I mean, that is basically 10 years ago. I don't know, Music Radar, so it's either going to be 4 or 5. I'm saying 5.
It got 5
of course
stars.
It did. Yeah, of course it did. Do you know what that will
pros,
be?
Pros, a flexible, portable practice tool at a fantastic price. Cons, given the price, there's really nothing to complain about.
There we go. So, I mean, to be honest, I think that is a 5-star product. That
is cheaper now than it was then.
Yeah, well, that makes sense to me. Do you know what? That would be my answer, actually, because if you're in a real emergency situation, it will run on batteries, so you can just have some AA batteries kicking around. You don't even have to plug it in to the wall. In fact, I think that's how I was using it when we were doing this band.
Right.
I literally couldn't even be bothered to bring a 9-volt power supply, so I just used my bass into the... Because there are some bass things on there. There's like an Ampeg thing, but I think I used the JCM 800 model for my bass, And I think you get a you can switch the cabs and stuff, but I think I just used the 412, and it sounded pretty good. And I've actually used it for doing some like real basic home recording as well, for guitar. And it's even on, you know, if you just want to knock together a demo or whatever, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, they are good little things.
So that's what I would do. That would sit at the end of the pedal board. Again, it wouldn't sound fantastic with pedals. It's not really designed for that. You're supposed to really go straight in. Your other option, I guess, would be if you want something that's kind of gig bag sized, Sansamp GT2.
Yeah.
Like one of their modelers.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, one of those. Because there's also a whole host of all those Sansamps, like the what do they call them? The something series, yeah. Celebration series,
no, like classic range or something.
I can't remember what it's called, but they have a bunch. They've got like the Liverpool, which sounds a bit like a Vox, and they have the California that sounds a bit like a Fender. I think they've got a California. They've got like or maybe it's called the Orange. I think it might be called the Orange, and that's the one that sounds like a California. I can't remember.
No, there's definitely a California one.
Is there? I can't remember. But there's a bunch of those Sans amps, and they're pretty good. But yeah, I mean, I think the Electro Harmonics or the Line 6 are a good shout for that.
Definitely.
Something that's got a decent.
Something that does amp modelling that you can fit in your gig bag, I think, is the solution. Joe says, does anyone else watch videos of people playing instruments they can't play for inspiration? Any thoughts on that?
Do I watch videos of people playing instruments they can't play for inspiration?
No, not they can't play, that I you can't play. Yeah, I just watched like this guy. He just like picks up a guitar and he can't really do anything with it. He's just like, yeah, this is great. I mean, to be honest, that's a Guitar Nerds video that I'm in. Not Matt. Matt, you can play guitar very well, but anything that I'm playing guitar in, you are literally watching that.
Not really for inspiration, but for fun. Well, kind of for inspiration, because I was talking. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I really want to get into using those Roland Boutique synths that I've got. And so I watch a lot of videos of people playing analog synths.
Yeah.
And every time I'm like, right, I'm gonna get something out of this. And I just look and I'm just like, what on earth are you doing? How is this noise being made? I don't understand. I'm also really into watching videos of people playing the theremin. I have thought about buying one of those Moog thereminis.
I'd love if you bought a theremin. I'd be around here every day.
I just don't really understand.
Your weird little room upstairs is going to get really weird.
Yeah,
if it's just you in there with no guitar stuff and the analog synths and the theremin.
I'll get my Space Echo back from Matty in a couple of weeks. I really want a theremin, but I don't know whether I want to spend the time to learn how to play it.
I don't think there is much to learn apart from you just know where to put your hand and what shape to have your hand in.
Yeah.
I guess that's any instrument,
well,
really.
Well, completely.
Yeah, it's not like you're learning chord shapes or anything. It's just practicing the movements, I think.
The only thing I really want to do is play the Star Trek theme.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you would have spent, how much are they, 300 quid or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've just spent 300 quid just to do that.
But theremin, let's have a quick look. Moog theremin, 289 quid.
Just get one.
I mean,
put it on the Guitar Nerds account and we'll just mess around with it.
I'll do that.
It's fine. The one that I watch all the time is I'm really annoyed because I've forgotten his name. I just watch drummers pretty much for inspiration other than... I don't really watch guitar videos. Most guitar players don't play guitar in the way that I like guitar to be played.
Yeah.
If I want to learn about guitar, like, I'll watch someone playing some Steve Cropper licks or whatever, and that is the kind of guitar playing that I like. I'm not going to watch someone doing shred stuff. What's the point? I don't like that music. I'll never be able to play that music.
No.
It's a waste of time. So what I actually do watch is quite a lot of drumming stuff. So Josh Fries from the Vandals and various session
and
stuff.
A Perfect Circle.
Basically everything else.
Guns N' Roses.
And also the fella whose name I've forgotten who does the medleys. The like Green Day Chronology. Kyle Smith.
Kyle Smith.
No, Kai Smith, maybe. Just look it up. He is the fella who he's got famous for doing...
Kai Smith.
Yeah, like drum chronology. So like every Green Day song in 5 minutes. And I can't actually figure out how he puts them together. It must be tons of practice because he's jumping... A lot of the time he's jumping time signatures and tempos.
Well, probably not time signatures.
Yeah, no, time signatures a lot of the time. because you know, it's not just Beatles he does. He also does not just Green Day that he does, but he also does like the Beatles and like weird other bands.
The one that I thought was really good was when he did apologies when Joe and Matt aren't on this podcast, it does kind of turn into the punk nerds.
Yeah.
He did an excerpt from one of each record that came out on Fat Wreck.
Yes.
Or something like that. He did a bit from it. So he has gone through it. Fat Wreck Chords being the record label owned by Fat Mike from NoFX. So it's all like sort of punk rock. And he must have gone through, found an interesting drum part from each record, then also gone, okay, well, will that work with something from the next record and the next record? So that I thought was really cool.
And he's also quite clearly doing production on it as well, because sometimes he's changed like pitches and tempos and things like that to make it flow.
Yeah.
So not only is he doing the drum parts, he's also stitching all of these songs together and then working out how the drum parts flow into each other. Remember it, because sometimes they're like 10, 12 minutes long. He's remembering that entire sequence. He's not reading, and then he's playing it, I assume, with a click that varies in tempo, that he has played it enough that he can predict the tempo change.
I mean, what you're talking about there, though, is
being a good musician.
Writing a song, to a certain degree.
Sure. I mean, he basically is just...
Some of Branton's songs are like 45 minutes long.
I'd rather not, mate, to be honest. I'd rather not think about him when he's not here. It's probably for the best. Let's do... What question should we do? Yogi says, fuzz pedal, Big Muff or Fuzz Face? Your favourite version of each?
That's a good question. Big Muff for me, I would say I prefer Big Muff to Fuzz Face.
Yeah, me too.
Though I really like what Dunlop did when they released the Fuzz Face minis. My understanding from people who know a lot about these sorts of things and care a lot more than I do is that they weren't particularly authentic recreations, but they weren't the size of a dinner plate, which was fantastic. And you could actually plug a power supply into them, which is also fantastic. And you know us by now, we are absolutely functionality over authenticity. I thought they were very good. I would say that my favorite Big Muff, though, the best Big Muff I've ever heard is the one that Matt's got, which is the 70s op amp one.
Oh,
I think
so good.
It's absolutely fantastic. I haven't had a chance to try the new mini op amp Big Muff yet. I'd be really interested to hear that alongside Matt's one, because we've talked about this a couple of times before, but Matt and I wanted to dispel this myth that new Big Muffs didn't sound as good as old Big Muffs, and Matt brought his old 70s Big Muff into the shop and we were going to do a video on it, and we ended up having to abandon the idea of doing a video on it because the 70s one sounded so much better than the new one. So I'd be really interested to see whether they stack up. I'm sure there's been comparison videos done. I haven't had a chance to watch
it. Have they captured some of that magic in the new op amp
and
style?
But I also really like the Russian Big Muff, which I know is something that is a bit sort of Marmite for some people. For me, the op amp Big Muff is just, it's just absolutely fantastic. I can't really talk too much about the Fuzz Face because it's just the size of it just never appealed to me.
No. And the functionality and stuff. The new ones, every time I plug one in or listen to a demo on them, I just always felt like a bit disappointed. I'm always just like, oh, this isn't for me. And I'm sure there's some people out there who love them, but
well, I think they've
it's
got,
just not the sound for me.
No, I think that they've got that history due to them being, you know, it's a Hendrix. Essentially, they're all Hendrix signature pedals, aren't they? You know. And I think that if that's the sound that you want, if you want to sound like Hendrix, then there's sort of no reason not to get one. But once you just take a step away from that, I'm not sure that it's just not for me, the Fuzz Face.
Yeah. Moritz says, what's the difference between the standard Boss pedals and the Wirecraft ones? Are they mods? How much better are they than the normal ones? So a little bit of history. The Wirecraft means something like finely crafted or something like, you know, fine You know, handmade, or there's some meaning in Japanese that basically means it's above normal production. And they introduced them, what, 5 years ago? Something like that, 4 or 5 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Must be, yeah, about 4 years ago, probably. And basically what they are is another... They're the next tier up from the standard Boss pedals. Not only do they have the regular sounds in them, so for example, like the BD2, they've also got an extra sound in there. And that plays out in a number of different ways. So things like the DM2W and the... Is it the CE2W?
The VB2, the vibrato.
So, yeah, vibrato. So they're the recreations of the original...
CE2 as well.
Yeah, so they're recreations of the regular... Or the original pedals that have long discontinued, but with a mode in there that adds another sound to the original. Things like the... BD2W are essentially a regular blues driver with the other another sound in there as well. So it does actually vary by pedal what you're getting, whether it's a reissue one with a new sound or whether it's a normal one with another sound added in there.
There's also the TU3W.
Yes.
Which is just the sort of... the troll pedal, I think.
Pretty contentious, this one.
Yeah, completely. I mean, my understanding, and I will have to defer to my somewhat biased pal in Matt Knight, but he reckoned that the buffer that's in the TU3W is super, super state-of-the-art, is, you know, really, really high-quality buffer. And that's what really differentiates it from the standard TU3. And I believe it's something like 0.1 of a cent more accurate or something like that, which, you know, as this is the Punk Nerds podcast today, we don't really care about that.
Yeah, just don't even take a tuner with you. Well, just forget about it.
Mainly. Some of those Wazelcraft pedals are just absolutely fantastic. The DM2W is just... It's just out of this world. And I know that Joe is a big fan of the VB2W.
I think that's where they've really found success, is reissuing the old pedals.
Yeah, agreed.
And adding new sound there. I mean, things like the Blues Driver, yes, I do like that other sound. And
the Overdrive as well, the SD1W.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if I've ever even played one.
I have. When they first came out, yeah, we plugged them all in. And, you know, there is... We did some head-to-heads, and yeah, the new sounds are really nice. But the it really is the kind of vintage stuff that is where they've kind of found their niche. Nice pedals. DM2W in particular is a stunning sounding delay. So we've got two questions to finish off, and I want you to choose which one we'll go for. Andrew's question is, why do you guys think Green Day is punk? and Chris's question is, what is your favourite cheese? Well, which will we go for?
Well, shall I answer one and you answer the other? Because I'm not really qualified to answer one of those questions.
Well, I thought you could talk about vegan cheese. What's the best vegan cheese?
Oh, no, that's... Yeah, I meant the Green Day one.
Okay, all right, fine. Let's do the cheese one quickly now.
Okay.
Just say a cheese.
I've been vegan for about 10 years, so I don't...
What's the best vegan cheese?
There's
what
not
saying.
Really anything.
They're all dreadful.
They're not all dreadful, but there's nothing that's sort of... You can't... It depends what you want it for. Daiya is quite good for pizza. Violife is quite good for pasta. This is a whole other question. This requires... They're all quite crap.
Coming up on the Patreon episode this week, Jay runs down vegan... No, definitely not. My favourite cheese is the Stinking Bishop. The Stinking Bishop. It's basically the smelliest cheese and the most strong cheese that I've ever had.
Is that the one that you had to put into like 3 containers in your house?
Oh, so after Christmas last year, there was a... It came in the original wrapper... Then we wrapped it in foil, and then we put it in a Tupperware, and then we put it in the fridge, and you could still smell it in the living room.
It's just...
Love it. So good.
I don't get it.
So good.
I don't get it at all.
So good. Let's answer Andrew's question. Why do you think Green Day is punk?
Well, because they're a punk band.
Well, exactly.
That's why I think Green Day... I mean, you know, even take something like American Idiot. You know, the now... a record that kind of passed me by. I sort of wasn't that into it, but the big singles are like American Idiot is a pop punk song.
Yeah,
but you go back to 1988 when they released 1039 smoothed out Slappy Hours, which was obviously a collection of the previous couple of EPs, and then Kaplunk, the record that came after that. I mean, that is an absolutely fantastic punk rock record. I don't understand what's to... if you're into punk, I don't understand what's to dislike about Kaplunk. It's just, there's three fellas playing really simple songs that have got great choruses, and then it's over.
Yeah. And also, you know, if we're talking about punk as like a lifestyle and kind of ideology, you know, that certainly to begin with, you know, they didn't have, you know, it was Lookout Records and what have you. But even before that, I think they're on, I can't remember the name that those singles came out on, but they...
wasn't it Slappy?
No, that's the name of the EP.
Oh, I've got that, I think, the Slappy EP.
Underdog Records or something like that? Yeah, I mean, it's just those three blokes going around in a van, driving constantly, playing every night for no money. That's kind of the essence of punk, really. Yeah. And yes, obviously, it's grown into this big... I mean, I would say these days they are a rock band.
Oh, yeah, they're like a stadium
rock band. But,
you know, we saw them last year and it was very weird.
Yeah, it was pretty boring, I thought, because the songs that you like are played a bit slower than they would be. But also, you know, Billy Joe's got his own label where they put out kind of smaller bands.
Yeah.
He's done work. He still occasionally does stuff with Pinhead Gunpowder, which is a punk band, you know, with some quite cool punk people in it. Up until recently, Mike also had another band where they're putting out stuff on a small label. Trey likes golf, it seems.
I mean, you know, they're all millionaires.
Well, of course,
but
of course.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, and I've just found out, actually, Billy Joe's doing this other band, The Long Shot, who are putting out, like, little snippets of stuff secretly on Instagram. And if you've been kind of following the little Easter eggs and the little trail, you can kind of hear a whole song of theirs. And it sounds pretty good. Sounds like... what was that other band they did? Foxborough Hot Tubs.
Oh, okay.
A little while ago. It's got that kind of garagey vibe.
Was it The Network as well?
That was the kind of new wavy band that they did.
I like that record. I thought it was good.
That album's really good. But yeah, you know, they're still involved. He runs this tiny record label, Adeline Records, and also has that little guitar shop as well now.
I didn't know he had a guitar shop.
Yeah, he's got a little guitar shop where he just sometimes works in there and you wander up and, you know, it's not like U2 where they're the head of corporations now and, you know, doing, you know, huge stadium shows and, you know, that whole kind of corporate rock world. I don't think Green Day is that. I think there's elements of that in the music, but I think as people they're not doing that. You know, they're still just three blokes.
And I know that they're still, and, you know, this isn't us sort of going into a world of us sort of defending one of the largest bands in the world, but I know that friend of the podcast Ed McNulty, when he was on here, he's been on here a couple of times, his band, he's left now, but his old band Beach Slang, they played a show in Oakland, which if I remember correctly was put on by one of the geezers from Jawbreaker. And Billy Joe Armstrong just went to go and see him. You know, he's paying attention to what's going on in the punk world.
I mean, I think that's the difference for me, is like, you know, if we're talking about rock stadium rock bands, which Green Day are, I would, if someone said that, I would think of like Coldplay or U2. They're in that sphere. Can you imagine Bono walking into a bar to go and like watch a local band play?
Completely.
Probably not. Can you imagine Billy Joe Armstrong doing that? Absolutely. He probably is still very much connected to that world.
Him and Bruce, I reckon.
Bruce who?
Springsteen. They're the two. They're the down to earth ones.
You think Bruce would still? Yeah, I think Bruce would still go to the local bar.
I remember reading an interview with the Gaslight Anthem where they said that, like, they played the show in New Jersey and Bruce just went along.
Yeah,
just went to watch him.
He's such a good dude.
Oh, he's just the best.
With that, we should wrap up this podcast. If you want to hear more, you can go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. This week, from the $5 tier, you get an extra half an hour every week. And this week, Jay and I are going to be going through... Hang on, let me get the issue. The Total Guitar Readers Awards issue 2006, and seeing what gear people were into in 2006. I mean, on the cover, we've got John Frusciante and that dude from Avenged Sevenfold, whose name?
Sinister Gates,
and also the guitar player from Wolfmother. Do you remember them?
I do remember them.
So we're going to talk
hair.
Yeah, we're going to talk a bit more about that. See what was voted for in the Reader Awards. This talk is- about the... Sh- guitar, the shop ads and stuff that are in there.
This is kind of a precursor to the Gear of Yesteryear series, which we said we were going to do and have not done.
Yeah, we've run out of time, so we'll give you a little...
We will do it at some point.
Give you a little preview.
The big issue is the fact that Matt appears to...
No, it's not, guitar mag, Matt, it's not the big issue.
The main issue appears to be that Matt has disappeared off the face of the earth. I can't remember last time I saw him IRL.
No, he's gone.
But yeah, once we all get in a room together,
we'll read some guitar mags. But yeah, you're getting a little sneak two-headed preview of that.
We'll laugh at how innocent and stupid we all used to be.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the $5 tier. For $10 a month, you get your name read out on the regular episode like these people have.
You're doing it. I'm not doing
it. Okay. Right, you've got to do some music then. Ryan McDermott, Robert Cousins, Rob Grohl, Nate Nagel, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Emery James Baker, Christopher Rappetish, Zane Omar, Matt Richards, Dave Lee, Derek Fitzer, Martin Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Sheeman, Blake Weiland, Jake Gray, Christopher Lozeth, Juan Correa, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Norvick, Rob Grant, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Mancha, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Mark Cross, Brad Page, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Anstis, Jack Godfrey, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Phil Thompson, Moot Gravett, Colin Anderson.
You and
I took one breath. One breath. I couldn't do it. I don't know how he does it every week. Considering, you know, he drinks a lot of booze and he's not very, you know, he's pretty unfit.
I don't understand how his lungs have got such capacity.
No, good we didn't smoke, innit?
Well, completely.
Yeah. So if you want to follow us, you can go to Instagram at Guitar Nerds, Twitter at Guitar Nerds. You can also join in the conversation, facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds forum. And you can go to YouTube, youtube.com/Guitar Nerds videos. Lots of Guitar Nerds fun to be had. We're going to go and read this 2006 issue of Total Guitar Magazine in the Patreon. Do go there, patreon.com/guitar nerds, and we will see you next week.
Cheers, gang.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.